All right, good morning. Those in person and those online. Thank you, Caitlin, for your beautiful song titled Love Me Still. What beautiful words to hear. The Lord always loves his children, and he loves his enemies too. That's why he went on the cross. Before we continue, if we can please bow our heads in a word of prayer. Lord Jesus, we are so grateful to gather once again on a Sunday, Lord. We dedicate this time to you, Lord. We come early in the morning to break bread, to remember what you did for us on the cross, Lord. And your wonderful salvation, Lord, and the good news to know you, the eternal hope that we have. And we fellowship in your name, Lord. It's always a blessing to have fellowship. There's nothing like Christian fellowship. And then we come, Lord, for the second half, Lord. We thank you for our Sunday school teachers upstairs who teach so hard behind the scenes and teach the kids from our high school to the little lambies, that you'd bless them in their time, that our young ones would know you and live for you. And then for those of us here in person and those online to hear the message, Lord, we ask that you would guide it by your Spirit, Lord. It's always a beautiful thing that you give a speaker a message, Lord. What you want to be said, Lord. A speaker does not come up here wanting their own words or their own agenda or their own theories or thoughts or processes. No, Lord. The speakers come up here with one purpose only, to give you glory, to be guided by your Spirit, to use the word in a mighty way, Lord, that so that each of us can take something from the message and use it in our walk, Lord. So we ask that today, Lord, and use it for your glory. In your most precious and holy name, amen. So I hope everybody's awake today. I know some of you are tired. You got to be tired. Usually, the day after a picnic, you're outdoors all day in the sun. You can be pretty tired the next day. Those who played softball, volleyball, those who served, cleaned, cooked. And then for some of us who went to the fireworks yesterday, who set off fireworks, that's a late day. I think you went to bed past 12:30. So I'm tired, so you're probably tired too. So I want to keep you awake today, so I bought some fireworks. Anybody nods off, I'm gonna throw one on the ground. I thought about it, but then I'm looking at my Uncle Mike here. And that would not be good, right, Mike? I think Mike has a word for me he used a long time ago. That would not be too swift. So, Mike, don't worry. I may be tempted, but I won't use any fireworks. But I am going to talk about a topic today that I think it should keep you awake. It is something that all of us Christians have experienced. Even the non-Christians have experienced. They may not even realize it. It is the greatest thing that I've ever experienced in my life. It is the greatest thing I've ever seen in my life. It is the greatest thing I've ever tasted in my life. It is perfect, and it's changed all of our lives. It's one of the most central themes of the Bible, mentioned hundreds of times. It's the foundation of our faith in Jesus Christ. And you haven't guessed it by now, I'm talking about the word L-O-V-E, love. We read about God's love when we open his word. We hear it constantly in messages and the devotions that we read. We have so many devotion books at home, and I feel like half of it's about love. We listen to Christian music and hear about God's love. We have K-Love that's set in our car. Every Sunday, the first part of our service, what do? We take time to remember what Jesus Christ did on the cross. The love of God who sent his one and only Son. The love of Jesus who willingly accepted the calling and went to the cross. Took our place. Carried our sins. Paid the price in full so that we would not have to. And now as Christians, through accepting him as Lord and Savior, we have eternal life, a forever home to look forward to. A loving God who is preparing it for us. God's preparing heaven for you and I. And as we live our daily lives, we continue to see God's love all around us. It is a dark and evil world, but the Christian sees God's love all around us in countless ways. Every single day, you can probably sit down at the end of the night and think of all the ways God has showed his love to you that day. So the title of my message today is this: there is nothing like God's love. There's nothing like God's love. And so here are my 3 points. If my brothers in the back can put it up on the screen, thank you. Here are my 3 points today. One, God's love is perfect. Two, God's love has changed us. And three, God's love should motivate us. My first point, God's love is perfect. How can we describe God's love as perfect? Well, we know the word agape is a Greek word translated as love. It's defined as the highest, the most selflessness form of love, selfless form of love, an unconditional, sacrificial, an active commitment to the well-being of others. This describes our God. This describes our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Think about these words, unconditional. Isn't it great that God's love is not altered by our sins or mistakes or failures? It's unearned, but it's lavished, regardless of circumstances. That's perfection, unconditional love. God's love is sacrificial. We know the perfection of his love was demonstrated on the cross. The Creator dying for his creation. The Creator dying for those who hated him. His enemies. A Creator who knew no sin, could not sin, and will never sin, dying for sinless humans. God's love is sacrificial. God's love is unchanging. Unlike human relationships, the world, love which can be fickle, fade over time, or is based on conditions. What can you give me? How am I feeling today? No, God's love is unchanging. It's steady. It's eternal. And it will never stop flowing. Those who went to Burney Falls, the beauty of the waterfall just flowing and flowing. Day after day, hour after hour, minute by minute. That's all God's love. It'll never stop in your life. God's love, it casts out fear. Vince, you and I were talking about this morning on our phone call. People live in fear. People in other religions live in fear. They think they have to do good works to get to heaven. Or I had a bad weekend. Or I'm having this struggle. No, God's love is perfect and complete. It removes the fear of punishment, doesn't it? I'll never have to pay the price for my sins. It's been washed in the blood. Instead, I have security and peace. That's what God gives to believers. It's what he offers to the unsaved. God's love casts out fear. We can go on and on. God's love is holy and just, pure and righteous. It provides comfort and grace when you need it. It reminds us that nothing can ever separate us from it. Romans chapter 8. Part of the chapter talks about the unshakable certainty of God's eternal love despite present sufferings. We suffer a lot in this world. We see it all around us. And in our own lives, we suffer. But God's love gets us through it. It gives us hope. And so let's read in Romans chapter 8. Listen to the words of Paul. Verses 38 through 39 in Romans chapter 8. I love this portion of scripture. This covers it all. It says, "For I am convinced that neither death nor life, neither angels nor demons, neither the present nor the future, nor any powers, neither height or depth, nor anything else in all creation will be able to separate us from the love of God that is in Christ Jesus our Lord." What powerful, amazing verses. Verses that we know well. That covers it all. I love in the book Ephesians, Paul has a prayer for the Ephesians. And in his prayer, he wants the readers to grow in understanding God's love. We need to grow in God's love to understand it more. I don't think we'll ever fully understand or grasp it. But Paul writes this in the prayer to the Ephesians in chapter 3, verse 16 through 19. He writes, "I pray that out of his glorious riches he may strengthen you with power through his Spirit in your inner being, so that Christ may dwell in your hearts through faith." Isn't that beautiful that Christ dwells in your heart? And it continues, "And I pray that you, being rooted and established in love, may have the power, together with all the Lord's holy people, to grasp how wide and long and high and deep is the love of Christ, and to know this love that surpasses knowledge, that you may be filled to the measure of all the fullness of God. God's love is perfect. Amen. My second point today. This one really hits home. God's love has changed us. Paul, once again, in Galatians chapter 2, verse 20, another popular portion of Scripture, says these words, "I have been crucified with Christ, and I no longer live, but Christ lives in me. The life I now live in the body, I live by faith in the Son of God, who loved me and gave himself for me." Amen. You know, I love this portion of Scripture, this verse, because Paul highlights that salvation only comes through Jesus Christ, not through works or rituals, as I mentioned before. You can't earn your way to heaven. And I'm grateful for that because I'll never get there. This verse also highlights that believers are united with Christ in both his death and his life. Isn't there beauty in that? Christ's crucifixion paid for your sins, symbolizing the death of our old sinful self. That's in the past. Praise God for that. And the beginning of a new life with Christ living in us. And while we're living in the flesh, we still have it. But we're now guided by faith in the Spirit. This verse shows that Christ's sacrifice was motivated by love, showing that salvation is rooted in a personal relationship with him, not adherence to the law. See, this debunks a lot of religions or how people grow up. It's a personal relationship with Jesus Christ. It's not knowing God in your mind. It's not studying it on the internet or saying you have a Bible and I read it. You know, people say, I've had people say this, they're not Christians. Oh, I read the Bible, in the last past year. I read the whole through the Bible. Well, do you know what's in it? Well, it's interesting. You know, I know who God is now. No, you don't. No, you don't, right? You don't. I grew up in a religion. It was all about rituals and following the commandments. It was not based on a personal relationship. God's love wants a personal relationship with every person here. Anybody online who doesn't know Jesus Christ, God wants you to know him as your own personal Lord and Savior. Other portions of Scripture highlights, now that we're Christ, we have been transformed into new creation. I think, Dave, you read a verse about this in a couple of Breaking the Breads, how we're a new creation. Isn't that beautiful? I didn't like my old self. You may have thought you did, but after Christ, you realize how ugly you were, even how more ugly you really were. But I'm a new creation now. God's love is changing from an enemy in my standing to now I stand as his child. As I prepared this message, I spent time reflecting how God's love has changed my life. I'm passionate about it because it's changed me, and I'm thankful for it. So I wrote down a few thoughts. I summarized them in 5 bullet points because I'm a bullet point kind of person. But I believe these will resonate with you. You sit in your seat today. Think about how God's love has changed you. So my first thought. And I'll try to get through these without shedding a tear. God's love breaks through the hardened shell around the heart. Softens it as he reveals his love. And ultimately gives a new heart the moment a person receives his son, Jesus Christ, as their Lord and Savior. Many here had a hardened heart towards God before salvation. Sometimes people think when they come to church, oh, everybody's walking through the fields, or they've been solid Christians for their whole life. That's not true. I had a hardened heart towards God. Ask around. Many would agree with this. They say words like this, "I don't want to be around Christians. I do not want to go to church. I don't want to be preached to. I don't need God in my life." I was talking to Roger at the softball game, and he prayed for us. Randy had him pray, and we were talking about his prayer, and he was just so joyful to be around Christians. And he goes, "It's just a blessing to be around Christians." And we were sharing some things, and I shared him part of my testimony. Many people have probably heard this, or those who know me best, but I first came to church at a picnic, and someone invited me to the church picnic on Labor Day back in the 90s. And when the person invited me, this is what I said on the phone. I said, I don't want to play softball with a bunch of Christians. It will be boring. I said that. It's actually shameful. It's kind of funny, too. But that was my heart. I don't want to play with Christians because it's boring. I have so much fun at the softball game. I may have lost yesterday to Mike Bice, who's bragging about it. I'll get you on Labor Day. But I have so much fun at the softball game. Win or lose, I'm sore today, but it's worth it. Playing with the young kids, talking trash with people. Some of you like to talk trash. Ari, I see you smiling. But praise God, God did not give up on you and I. He chased you down. Dave, I always remember your testimony. He chases you down. Ado, I know what he did in your life. I can go around this room, those who I know testimony. He didn't give up on you. Praise God for that. God's love breaks through the heart and shell. My second point, God heals the past. There's a lot there. Whether it's sin we have committed because we've all blown it, or wrongs done to you. God's healing process starts when a person gets saved. And he will ultimately heal you. I guarantee that. See, most people, when they get saved, or they need some form of healing because of their life experiences. Life is hard. Some of you have gone through horrible things. Tough life experiences that would break our hearts when we hear your testimonies. I know some of your testimonies. I don't forget what you said, whether it's a devotion on Wednesday night or a brother or sister sharing at their house. But once you get saved, the healing process starts. It's a process. You don't just snap your fingers and everything goes away and you're healed. But that's the beauty, is God will heal you. And if you need to be healed still, let him heal you. Spend time with him. Bask in his love. Meditate on it. Read the scriptures I read today about his love. God will heal you from your past. You know, it always kills me inside. It makes me sad when I hear Christians struggling with that or don't want God to heal them. They want to stay in their pain or don't let him heal them. He's there to heal you. He healed me. I would not be here today if he did not heal me. Third bullet point. God love breaks the chains. Right before Christ, you feel like you're in chains. You are. Satan has you in a chokehold. Amen? Before Christ, I was this way. Bitterness, anger, I had a lot of anger, regret, shame, and insecurity. That was it's my life, and I know you can relate to it too. But what I have now after the Lord broke the chains, my life was filled with joy, peace. I love peace. And eternal hope. Fourth bullet point. God love continually reminds a person how special they are to him. That you are fully known and fully loved. God knows you inside and out. The good, the bad, and the ugly. And he still loves you. He understands you. Your spouse may not understand you. Your kids may not. They do. But the Lord really knows you. There are times in life where you will have big life changes. Disappointments, we've all had that. Pain, a loss, failures. But like the song that Caitlin sang today said these powerful words, when I am at my worst, because we are at our worst, when I am at my best, you could not love me more. You will never love me less. You love me still, you always will, nothing can change it. I love the song that you sang today, Kate. Yes, there are times in our life where we need to hear those words. So when you do need to hear them, sit and let the Lord tell you, I love you. Reflect on it. Pause. And lastly, God's love shown through other people. I'm grateful for the love I have received from those in Christ, who've opened their homes as a safe haven. I needed a safe haven when I was first a Christian. Those who provided a meal, provided an encouraging word or prayer, the love of friendship, and brothers and sisters in Christ, I love my friends. I thank God for each of you. Those who in their love imparted their wisdom and their time, thank you, leadership, and those who have gone above in heaven, if you can hear this message, by their words and their actions, shown the way how to live for Christ in love. I'm convicted because I pray that my life shows love to those around me. Amen. So thinking about how God's love has changed your life. Now, he's changed your life this morning, right? He changes it every day. Each of you here, he has showered his love on you, and I praise God for it. And I know each of you, if I called you out one by one, you could probably share 5 bullet points of how God's love has changed your life. So thinking about that, and it brings me to my third and last point. God's love should motivate us. God's love should motivate you. I have a story. I think this might have been shared before here, but I found this. I thought it was pretty funny. A stressed out driver is tailgated by an impatient motorist. You've all been there. Maybe we were the stressed out driver or we're the person. I'm not asking anybody to confess anything. So the impatient motorist erupts in road rage when the stressed out driver stops safely at a yellow light. And the person goes on a rant. And a police officer confronts her and charges her with multiple violations. The shocked officer explains she saw her Jesus Love You bumper sticker and assumed the car was stolen. Ouch. I've heard that before, but I found it again. I thought it was pretty funny, right? See, we may tell people Jesus loves you, wear Christian shirts, have a cross necklace, tell people we go to church, tell people I serve at my church, tell people that Jesus loves you, tell people and show people I have a Christian bumper sticker. But the hard question we need to ask ourselves, by how we live our lives, do we really show God's love? Are we motivated? Are we passionate about it? Do we really love Him with all our heart, our soul, our mind, and our strength, as Jesus commands us to? In Mark chapter 12, Jesus has been debating several group religious leaders. Jesus is amazing when he's debating people. Patience, but that's another message. And one of the teachers of the law comes up to him and says, all the commands, which is the most important? And Jesus replies, in I think one of his most famous quotes, it's in 2 portions of the gospel, but it's in Mark chapter 12, verse 30. Jesus is speaking to you and I, love the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul, and with all your mind, and with all your strength. You see, when you're saved, you're now born of God, and now you're equipped to love. Right, after salvation, you get a new heart. Praise God, we talked about that. You desire spiritual things. Right, before Christ, you didn't desire spiritual things. But after you get saved, hey, church is pretty cool now, right? Maybe I want to go serve now, right? You desire spiritual things. We now have the Holy Spirit, which lives within us, which I will never fully understand, because that's amazing. So we have a new capacity to love. God equips us to love like Him. But we have the choice to do it. We should be motivated to show Christ's love. God's love should motivate us to live a life that is proven through our obedience and actions. Love that's not just spoken, but lived. You see, love in Scripture is never emotion. It's demonstrated through obedience and action. The world doesn't like that, but it is. I got more scripture. Remember Jesus' own words in John chapter 14, verse 15. If you love me, keep my commandments. Yeah. Right, if you wake up in the morning and have your devotion, you sit down one-on-one with the Lord, Jesus may be telling you that morning. If you love me, Rick, you'll obey my commands. You'll keep my commands. Every action and word and decision should be motivated by love. Think about that. Every action, word, and decision in your life should be motivated by love in Christ. 1 Corinthians chapter 16, 14. 4 simple words, do everything in love. God's love should motivate us. That it defines our Christian life. Love that shapes our identity. People see love in us. Shapes our relationships. That people see you as a loving Christian. Shapes our witness. You know, nothing would be more embarrassing if you witnessed to somebody and they're like, I didn't know you were a Christian. Or you're rude and they've seen you in bad times and they've never seen you like ask for forgiveness, right? What credibility do you have? More of Jesus' words. John chapter 13, 34 through 35. A new command I give you, love one another. As I have loved you, so you must love one another. By this, everyone will know that you are my disciples if you love one another. And so we know the Bible, God's word, love is a central theme. Many books are reminded and encouraged us to live a life of love because we have been transformed by God's love. And so think about this. If you've been transformed by God's love, you've been changed, then how come we don't give everything to Jesus? How come we don't give all? How come we don't try? I'm talking to myself. Sometimes we don't make the Lord a priority. We don't put him first in certain areas of our life. This is the challenging part we need to face as Christians. Church can become secondary. You know, if God has you at a church, he wants you to go to the meetings. Not because Adel is telling you or Mike is making you or we want your money or your time. If God plants a church, he designs the meetings. Ask the elders. You guys prayed about what meetings to have. When to have it, what time? I know you have. God designs it. He wants you here. He wants you to serve with all your heart in your ministry. Sometimes Christians may not want to serve at all. I'd rather do something else. Or they do their ministry and they don't give it their all. Sometimes Christians, we mess up with our words. Our flesh comes out. We have an opinion, we want to get our point across, when instead God wants to use our words in a loving way. Sometimes we're not motivated to fight the flesh. I think this is very convicting. I'm speaking to myself. We're not willing to fight sin, not willing to change our character. Instead, we give into it. But if you're living motivated by God's love, you are willing to fight the flesh. You're willing to get on the knees and confess sin. You're willing to say, Lord, I struggle with this. Give me victory. You're willing to put the time and the effort. You're not saying, well, that's how I grew up. I blame my parents. I use that excuse before Christ. I blame people for my life. That's a bunch of baloney, right? That doesn't fly in the Christian life. If I'm motivated by God's love, I will continually strive to work on my character. Less of Rick Punzo, more of Christ in my life. So if you always have God's love on your mind, if it is your focus and we daily praising for it, then we won't be forgetful people. We won't forget how great his love is, how much he has done for you, how much he's changed all of us. We have a room of people that God's love has changed all of us. I think that's why as a church, we work together well in ministries. You know, the picnic is a lot of work. A lot of people serve with their heart, their soul, their strength, a lot of love, and praise God for that. But the only reason why we're successful in our picnics is because of what God has done in our lives, right? It's not for anybody's glory. I want to help out because God loved me, and I want to do my part to help my church have a good time. That's how people have the attitude, and praise God for that. So may God's love motivate us to consistently change to be like him, to walk in obedience, to serve him wholeheartedly, to live fully for him. Love that grows deeper for him each day. And one that loves one another. You know, that's a prayer. To love the Lord more each deeper each day. None of us has maxed out in our love for him. Right? There's work there. But I think that's a beautiful prayer the Lord put on my heart. Lord, help me love you each day. Help me to be more loving to those around me. We are challenged. We should be. I have one more portion of scripture, and in conclusion, I would like to say this. A godly man once opened his Bible. This is a story that I went through. A godly man once opened his Bible and shared these verses with me when it was a time when I was not in the mood to hear it. You know, there's times in life we would not hear things. We weren't in the mood to hear it. But a godly man opened his Bible and wanted to share something with me. The godly man read them to show me that showing God's love should be the guiding principle in the Christian life. Showing God's love should be the guiding principle. My last verses today are in the famous chapter, 1 Corinthians chapter 13, that describes love. I have read this so many times as a Christian, and I gotta admit, every time I read it, I'm convicted. I have not arrived, but it's convicting. It's kind of funny in a way. I think God has a sense of humor, but it's a powerful portion. So we're going to read a couple of the verses. 1 Corinthians chapter 13, verses 4 through 8. May God motivate us to love like this. Love is patient. Love is kind. It does not envy. It does not boast. It is not proud. It does not dishonor others. It is not self-seeking. It's not easily angered. That's a convicting one. It keeps no record of wrongs. Oh, boy. But what does love do? Love does not delight in evil, but rejoices with the truth. It always protects, always trusts, always hopes, always perseveres. And I'll end in this last sentence, love never fails. Amen. So let me ask you a question. Do you agree with me that there's nothing like God's love? Amen. Do you agree with me that God's love has changed you? Amen. Do you agree that God's love should motivate you? Amen. Let us cherish it. Let us treasure it. Let it be the guiding principle of our lives by our words and our action. And may the Lord help us. And I pray that anybody here who doesn't know Jesus Christ as their Lord and Savior, that you do not have a moment that you gave your life to Him, whether you're online, in person, because I don't know, but I always feel burdened to share it. I pray that you see God's love in this morning. That this church is not fake. We don't want anything from you. We just want to shower you with love because we were lost once and Jesus saved us. And He wants every single person here to know Him as their own personal Lord and Savior. Let Jesus love you. He loves you no matter what. He doesn't care about anything else but that you would just confess your sins and ask Him based on His work on the cross for salvation so that you would know where you're going. And then as you start your journey, I guarantee you will see God's love more and more each and every day. Amen. Let's end in a word of prayer. Lord Jesus, we are here today because You loved us, Lord. Your love is so great, we can be here all day, Lord. But it is the foundation of our faith. It is what brought You down from Your heaven throne to this world to save us. It is Your love that answered the call for the prayer of salvation where You forgave us of our sins and said, yes, I will be Your Lord and Savior. It is Your love that You get us through the day. It is Your love that You always forgive and forget. It is Your love. And it can go on and on, Lord. We are grateful for that, Lord Jesus. And so, Lord, as we end today's message, we thank You for our time together. We pray that You would use this in our hearts, that we would meditate on it, something to chew on for the rest of the week. And, Lord, as we do go out on the road, we go to and from, protect us, Lord. Help us with our work week, those who are working. Help those who are going through trials or testings. Those who can't be here, may they have health, they can be here next week. And just pray for the well-being of the church, Lord. Continue to use this for Your glory, to be a light to this world, to the unsaved that walk through these doors, and to be a church that we can build each other up, to be edified, to grow in You, Lord, and a church that is known as a loving church. We praise You, Lord. We love You. In His precious and holy name we pray. Amen.